to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode 33, and we are the podcast that every week picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No takebacks. I'm your extremely sick host, Nico, and I'm joined here by my less sick co-host.
Matt Tyler, yeah. It's funny because you have been sick, I feel like, in like three episodes now.
Yeah, that is
the, Or maybe two, but yeah.
I think that's the unfortunate part of living with another person, and that person also works a retail job that puts them into contact with people and humanity, because now my boyfriend comes home with an illness like every month, and it's awful, so I get sick a lot now, and it's bad because, you know, I only have so much personal time off of work, and I don't like sounding stuffed up, and I like being stuffed up, and yeah. Hey kids, don't get older and don't get sick all the time. It's terrible.
Don't get older.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like, just ignore the forward progress of time and you'll be fine. It's good. It's cool. So, we weren't on last week because we took a break, because sometimes recording on the weekends is very difficult when either of us is sick or hasn't gotten enough sleep, which is basically all the time. So, we took a break, but we're back this week. And I don't know, Tyler, what's been happening this week? What have we been talking about literally all the time?
Pokemon, right?
No. I wish. I wish I cared about Pokemon.
Bunny.
Oh, God. I mean, that's what everybody else on my Twitter timeline has been talking about, but unfortunately, that is not what I've been talking about and you've been talking about.
Everyone's just making UK jokes. No, we've been talking about, they kind of, well, yeah, because we didn't record last week, they teased a new hero for Overwatch, and then they didn't do another teaser. They just released a video at like 5 p.m. my time, Pacific time,
on like,
and then the next day,
on a Monday,
Monday, and then the next day, this Tuesday, they just came out. Batiste came out. He's a healer. He's a support hero for Overwatch. He's on the PTR for PC players.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we should also back up a second and just say that we both called it.
Yeah.
We
had a conversation on the Thursday after the little content drop with like the letter, but before the Monday that he got released, or his video got released.
Because we, like, from the little letter thing that they released, the tease, it said, like, that Batiste was a combat medic, like, literally. Yeah. And so a lot of people, and, you know, obviously us, were just like, oh, so he's going to be a healer. And just because, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, about, like, the state of, like, support, and especially, like, characters like Mercy in Overwatch. So we were just wondering, what a new support look like in Overwatch? And we kind of guessed that maybe they would have something similar to like Mercy's Resurrection, which would be like an invulnerability kind of thing, and he totally has that.
Yep.
And he does heal a lot, and he's exactly kind of what we expected to work in the game the way it is now, the way every other change has sort of made the game function. And so yeah, he came out and we both played him a little bit, but we also like, I feel like we had both kind of just like read his abilities and knew enough by then, you know, like we had to play him to just know. And I don't know, Batiste is a really, I don't know how to explain it, because it's like he's not like the nail in the coffin or whatever, right? Like, or maybe he is, I don't know, because it's like he just does everything that he deals a lot of damage. He protects people in almost like an ultimate, but it's just his normal ability. His ultimate increases damage output that's like the other supports. Mm-hmm. Like, he borrows from every other support and kind of does everything better, has extreme mobility. And so they do that a lot with hero releases, where a lot of new heroes have like more mobility, or like can do something that other older heroes can't do as well. And this new hero just does so much that it's like, why wouldn't you play him? He just seems very good at everything. I mean, not like overpowered. I don't think we're ever saying that, right? But he just sort of, he's just sort of better at everything, and it just makes it to where it's like, oh, so if you're just good at shooting and good at healing and just good at everything, you should just be playing Batiste. You shouldn't like waste your time on Zenyatta or Ana.
Yeah.
You should just be playing this new shiny new hero because he could do everything. And that's an issue, I think. That's a bigger issue, deeper issue with the game.
Yeah. It's really frustrating because they've done so much to push support like Mercy down a bit while raising up other supports like Moira, Zen, Ana. And then on top of that, they come out with Batiste, who is easily going to outstrip every other support because he's got super boots, which allows him to go onto high ground, which is something that no other support can really do unless you're good at
Lucio,
the mobility.
You're
Lucio or you're Mercy and you have a teammate that's already up there.
Mercy,
And he can do it himself and, you know, with no penalty. And he also has, he has a very fast left click shoot. He's got grenades on his right click. Oh, and those are two separate ammos. He's got a shift AoE heal, which is also very strong. So think like maybe not as strong as on a grenade, but think like Lucio Amp It Up or Bridget passive healing. Then he's got his damage ultimate, which is very similar to like boost and will probably could be stacked with boost or Risa ult or Nano or something like that as well.
It's the same level as Nano. It's a 50% damage boost.
Yeah, it's
huge. The same thing as Nano boost from Ana.
But the invincibility, the immortality field is easily the thing that I think is kind of going to turn the game around a corner in terms of like, this is just where we're at now with Overwatch, where Mercy was too low skill of a hero to have something as instant and powerful as Mass Resurrection in this extremely high, fast damage game that we have now. But Batiste is completely okay to have a little item that he can throw out, similar to Mail, that literally keeps people alive through ultimates. Like,
yeah. Which
multiple.
Is, if you, and like, I think the reason why, I'm not sure if everybody, like, Rez and Invuln are very similar. On a Rez, somebody has to die first, but the effect in the game is you have a bunch of people, they die to a Graviton Surge from Azaria or something and whatever, and then you Rez them, so you basically live through that ult. But his non-ultimate ability, his just normal E ability, will also do the same thing. I mean, you can destroy it, which, you know, Rez, I mean, I guess you could kill the Mercy, but, you know, Rez happened without that, but it's the same level of impact it could have, and it probably will occasionally. I don't think he'll be I really don't think that a lot of people will be living through ultimates necessarily with it, but it still will save multiple people probably pretty often just from even just normal damage. Which is because, a lot of people just die from normal damage these days.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like you said, they made this really high skill hero. I mean, like, there's so much stuff on him that you could do if you were a really good player that, like I don't know. Like, he's like Ana, and it's like there's so many plays and stuff you could make with his mobility and with, the, like, just being able to shoot well. If you can just aim really well, you can just kill a lot of people on him, too.
Yeah.
So if you also have the thing to keep people alive, which also keeps him alive, then there's a lot of stuff you could do with, like, he's just allowed by the design to have something as strong as immortality. Like, there's nothing else in the game except for Zenyatta's own, like, ultimate transcendence that keeps him, like, alive through anything.
And even
and now
that
we have
has
an ability.
Even transcendence has its limits because the pulse of healing only can make you live throughout so many things.
Yeah, well, Zenyatta is immortal. But
but that's just one person versus, like, the immortality field, what it does is it basically is a little item that throws a kind of, like, area of effect. And if you're in that area of effect, you basically get a kind of, like, capped health bar that it means you won't ever, as long as you're in that field and it doesn't get destroyed, you will always keep, like, I think 20% of your health.
Yeah, it's like reserved. It like highlights health bar, like that section of the health bar.
And it locks
it. Even heals you too. If you have lower than that and you walk into it, it'll heal you up to that.
Yeah, so you will always have 20% of your health, whether you're getting damaged and dropped to that, or whether you're under that and get bumped back up.
Yeah, so like the enemy team can still get ult charge if they're just shooting at people inside of those the field. And the other drawback of it too is that, like, you know, if nobody got healed while they're in the immortality field, they would all be really low health afterwards, so they would probably just die anyway. But
but combined with you know, like a grenade or amp it up,
his
or
shift,
passive
the
Batista's healing
shift
or
heal?
Or Batista's own shift and or a support ultimate, and you've got a full health team at your disposal, basically, that didn't die through something major. Like, and I think I would be okay with immortality field if it was an ult, because it feels like the power level of that is ult level, which is another problem that we had when Mercy's res got moved to her E ability. It's a very
and other heroes got their E abilities from their ult, essentially.
Yeah.
Too, you know? Symmetra's teleporter.
Yeah, it's like they decided to take these things that were initially very big deal in terms of either mobility or survivability, or were sort of like very you know, like hero defining. And to put them on an E just says, well, these are powerful enough that you should be using them pretty much on cooldown. And that does a lot for the power scaling in the game. And
because if everybody's like really powerful abilities on their E, then that means that like every hero just has a lot of power all the time.
Yeah, which you throws know? It very much into whack, I think. Which is why this game has gotten so fast and so high damage. And that's kind of why I don't really want to play Batiste, is because he doesn't really feel like a hero that's designed to be a hero in the same way that every other hero prior to this has been, even to some degree, you know, like Ashe or whatever. They all feel like their abilities were designed to give them character, to give them this unique sort of property to sink your skills into, but to kind of also revolve around this like sort of thesis statement for the hero. And Batiste doesn't feel like that. He feels like a grab bag in a lot of ways.
A lot of Batiste's abilities don't, they mesh well because like they're all just like skill based things that you could do, but they don't really, I don't know, they don't really like,
they don't mesh.
They just don't make sense. Yeah, they just don't mesh really. Like, I don't know. Like, they're all like, that's the thing, is like playing him, it's like, oh, I could figure all of this out and get used to doing all these separate things. But yeah, it I think the thing is like, it just requires so many different skills.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it requires awareness for his immortality thing. It requires aim for his shooting. It requires a different type of projectile aim for his healing. And then it also requires like being close to people with his shift heal. And then you also need to think about vertically, because you can jump. And it's just, it's, and then also like when, where to place your ultimate so everybody will get damage boosted. It's just so many, it's like every skill that is like something that somebody would be a master at in the game. Like if you play the bunch of Mei, you'd be really good at projectiles, right? Mm-hmm. But it's, he just has them all. And sure, you can be pretty good at a lot of those things. Like I play a lot of heroes, like all those things are not too challenging for me. But in one hero, it's kind of wild. I don't know. And it just makes him feel so like, I don't know. It just doesn't mesh, I guess. It just feels so weird.
It feels like a failure of their actual stated goals with hero design. I get that he's kind of a jack of all trades combat medic, but the thing is that what makes the support heroes we have now so good is they are kind of specialists in their own way. And they've made that very clear that they want people to be specialists, which is why Mercy got a lot of her, like, just healing reduced, despite the fact that that was her specialty, was just healing, an incredible amount of healing. He's not a specialist. And the fact that they're moving away from that model makes him feel less like a unique hero that you want to get good on and to kind of, like, work up the, like, ladder of getting really good at him, and more that you have to like get good at all these disparate skills. So it kind of feels less like hero design and more like a patch note. Like he,
I think it, it
like a band-aid, like a band-aid.
Yeah, like a band. I think maybe part of this too is that he's the first support hero, I think, that feels like the way they've been doing, been reworking damage heroes.
Yes. No, that's a completely That's completely.
Because you think about Hanzo, he was really specialized, but now he can just do everything. And I don't mean like different, a bunch of different skills like Batiste, but I just mean like Hanzo just can output so much damage regardless of your skill level that he just is so good at everything that he's just like just homogenous compared to the other DPS. And that's what Batiste feels like. I mean, not like that Batiste is as good as the other ones. It's just he just feels like he can just do everything all the time, no matter how good you are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just why play other things kind of thing. Yeah. And, yeah, that's just a strange decision because, I don't know, it's not surprising, but it's just like when we keep doing that, it makes the game... It just doesn't... Like, when you don't have specialized heroes, it doesn't make any sense. Like, the fact that Mercy... still exists in the game and she can't out heal like almost anything in the game except for like really light poke damage or like a tank on somebody maybe, but even sometimes you can't. It's just so like her, she doesn't like it. I don't know, it's really weird because they don't have specialized heroes and then they leave the older heroes behind in a weird way where they're like really weak. And also like, I mean, we'll have to start keeping maybe track, but like they've helped McCree, especially in the last patch, like the PTR now. Like, he used to feel really underpowered because he was a really old character that just didn't have all the new stuff. Mm-hmm. But now that's on Mercy, and I don't know if they're ever going to change Mercy. But, like, Mercy is, feels like the oldest, worst character in the game.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I know that, like, you say, like, she can't out-heal or can't heal through anything right now. But, like, you really can't. Like, you, like, her healing... just doesn't feel like it's in the right video game. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like she is, I don't know, it just feels like she actually doesn't do the amount of healing that is required at a basic level in this game anymore.
Yeah, which is
because she doesn't do bursts. Like, she doesn't even do Lucio's amp, which is still good.
She has no burst, which is hard because Blizzard has been moving this game steadily in the burst damage direction, which is why goats got popular. Like, people think that goats kind of came out of nowhere, but the problem is goats didn't come out of nowhere. It wasn't something that people hit upon. I mean, like, I feel like the biggest meta shifts in this game have been reactions to something that the game was sort of doing well at. Like, dive came from two slow tank combination metas. Dive came because it was extremely easy to take a bunch of synergistic mobility characters and to just plow into a backline.
Yeah, because that was worked. When support was really good. That was when Ana was really good. So you had to just kill her.
Supports, but it meant that you used like a 2-2-2 combination, but that was all high mobility. Goats specifically came out of the fact that the only way to beat this trend in high damage, splash damage, poke damage, that sort of thing, was to have a bunch of passive healing, a bunch of armor, and tank health pools.
Yeah.
And no DPS.
You live long enough to get all your ults, and then you use them all, or you use like as many as you can or need to.
Yeah.
And you just live until you get ults kind of thing.
Yeah.
You just brawl forever.
So Blizzard deciding to make the direction of Overwatch, which was to destroy or to weaken goats, versus taking a look at what game they had been making for the past 6 months to a year instead, says a lot about how they don't actually realize what kind of game that they're making anymore. Because goats is never going to go away as long as you're making like characters that can do an incredible amount of damage and then splash damage on top of that. Like,
I mean, I think there's maybe a tipping point where if it's to the point where you can kill a D.Va almost as fast as a DPS character.
Yeah.
If you are good enough, then maybe it will turn, you know, to where, like, okay, then why even play a D.Va all the time?
Yeah.
But you have a point. Because, like, your point, too, is, like, I think people really... Maybe because people didn't play then, but, like, there was a tank meta before Goats. It was triple tank, right?
Yep.
Like, that was the same... I don't know why people think that Goats is that different from triple tank. Like, that was the same idea of, like... You could heal tanks so much. Well, tank ultimates are really good. You just heal them a lot until they get their ults, and then they do their ults. Like, that's what that was, and Goats is just, like, slightly different. It's, like, basically the same thing, though. Mm-hmm.
The problem is you chip away at Goats means you weaken, you know, 6 to 7 individual heroes, which makes the damage issue worse. You chip away at tank abilities, you chip away at armor, you chip away at healing, and you are making a meta for this game that is 100% DPS. There is no reason to not play DPS. There is no reason to play multiple DPS. It will not get out-healed. It will not get outplayed. It will not get eaten. It will not get absorbed, and it will not get denied. And then they're sort of making the problem worse and worse and worse. And then you have Batiste on top of this, which is a support that can do a ton of damage, and then sort of has all these, like, weird abilities that, like, heal through all those damage, and then it's like you don't even need to play any other support at this point. You can't out-heal him, and you can't compete with him.
Yeah.
And so it's like this rolling snowball. Like, this is a snowball that's turning into an avalanche, and then, like, then I think on top of that, which is kind of what made us kind of infuriated, was, like, we're sitting here trying to kind of deal with the fact that there's a new support hero in the game, and then comes this list of patch notes.
Oh, the biggest list of patch notes since the game's launch.
Yeah.
In the game's history. They have never changed this many things. We also need to mention, too, just if you don't play the game and maybe even watch Overwatch League, Goats is not in most of people's games, by the way. Like, Goats is only in, like, higher ends of competitive and then Overwatch League. That is it. It's not for most people.
Yeah, but a lot of competitive players and pro players are tired of playing it. And people
There's
are like,
always
oh, this
be
is
a
so
meta
boring.
They're tired of.
I know,
but yeah,
that's the
yeah.
thing. People realize...
People were tired of triple tank.
Pros complain about the fact that they have to play the same thing or mirror comps or whatever. But the thing is that those things come out of a top 500 competitive scene that is very low risk, high reward. They want to play the most optimal meta composition because it guarantees them wins and it guarantees them a spot at the top of the ladder. And that carries over into pro play a lot because they tend to be things that work out extremely well with high amounts of teamwork and high amounts of composition synergy.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the other thing about Goats that you were saying too is, like, mm-hmm. Goats in solo queue, like, just, like, by yourself in high end competitive is good too, because then people can't play, like, Doomfist or something and punish people for not working together very well.
Exactly.
So you just play Goats, so you just all live because you're next to each other.
Yeah. So it's a problem of their own making, but then Blizzard, how it decides to react to it is the problem. And seeing that list of patch notes, which includes, like, some nerfs for things like Reaper, which is good because Reaper is too
strong. That's basically
it,
though. When I was listing them out for my story on Blizzard mm-hmm. Watch, like, it was just it's just a Reaper nerf. I mean, I technically may has a nerf, but not really.
But
so that's it.
There's
it was
like
one nerf.
There's in-air vertical booping now. There is a stronger Junkrat as well. Yeah. Like, Junkrat
can two-shot people now.
Two-shot people with a mine. Not a mine, a single grenade.
Yeah.
The Goats isn't, like, if we didn't like Goats before, it's going to get worse because there's going to be a Goats version 2 with Batiste now. That's just going to be so that people can live through a single Junkrat spam. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if people do play Batiste. I'm not sure if they will just because I think Zen is still really good, but they did nerf Zen a little bit, but not by much. But yeah, they nerfed every other support for the most part, except for, I mean, Mercy, but Mercy's already horrible, so
they don't Mercy's really already horrible. They don't need to
But they nerfed Ana, they nerfed Zenyatta, they nerfed Lucio. Like, they're bringing down these other supports that are already specialized still, which feels weird when you look at Batiste. And then they're upping damage for a lot of DPS. I mean, Soldier got a buff, McCree got a buff. Like, a lot of people... And McCree got a buff specifically to kill tanks, right? Like, he got a buff so his ultimate will kill tanks quickly, faster than before. And that's when you... I don't know. There's three roles in the game, and it's starting to feel like there's maybe just one, or maybe two, but tanks and stuff... Like, tanks don't make really a lot of sense anymore in this game. Like you said, you can play a bunch of DPS. Like, I guess I made the tweet because it was funny, but it's true in a way where it's like you are better off playing a DPS that just sort of dodges attacks instead of like playing D.Va and like using Defense Matrix to eat the Widow shots, right? Like, it's you're probably better off just trying to kill the Widow yourself instead of like trying to like eat the damage and mitigate the damage, because there's so much damage coming in. Tanks are so weak in a lot of ways. Support are weak, so that means tanks are weaker. That means that like the game is more about like something you'd see in like Apex Legends, which is just like people just shooting at each other and like hopefully dodging enough bullets before they kill the other person, right? Like they're aiming better or whatever, right? And that's what the game feels like a lot, even though there's sort of the illusion of tanks and healers. It really does eventually come down to a lot of times, a lot of the games we've played lately, it just feels like, well, did I hit my shots and did they not hit theirs? And then we win.
Yeah.
And that is traditional shooter, so that's not new or anything. And there's a lot of people that kind of like that, I think, and kind of wanted Overwatch to be like that for a really long time. But that's not why we played Overwatch, I don't think. So
yeah, because I don't ever want to play a traditional shooter. I don't care about getting kills. I don't care about a like good KD ratio. I don't care about aim skill. I don't care about that sort of thing. I like being cooperative. I like helping. I like healing. I like doing things that negate other stuff. Like, I liked playing tanks and support. And if I wanted to play a battle royale, I could play a battle royale. If I wanted to play a shooter, I'd play a traditional shooter. Overwatch has completely gotten away from what made it fun, interesting, innovative, and open to casual players and open to people who didn't usually play shooters. And it's been like that for a long time, and it's been falling downhill since the Mercy Rez change. And so I don't say this lightly, because I think this is an extremely overused phrase in gaming communities, but Batiste and the patch notes and the new stuff on PTR and all of the changes and reworks that have been happening since Mercy Rez are a slap in the face, like legitimately a slap in the face to people who've been playing this.
It continues to be a challenge to play Overwatch every night just in quick play with our friends. Mm-hmm. Like, the game is just lost. Like, I feel like we talk about this a lot because we've noticed we've like lost a lot of games in quick play a lot. And I think I always go back to like, it's weird because it's weird to complain about like, well, we're not winning, but at least we played the game and had fun or something. And that's true. But it's like, a lot of the ways the game used to sort of reward you for just doing teamwork or reward you for like kind of trying and like not necessarily being good at everything, but just like vaguely working together enough, that is just that stuff is gone now. Like, you get rewarded for just like popping off or something as Hanzo, right? Like, you just, there's not a lot of things in this game that like let you know that like you're working together as a team. It just, like, the team game just is like crumbling apart. I don't know, like, it just doesn't feel like it matters as much anymore. There's so many times now where people will just take a point because one person just like killed everyone from behind or whatever, you know. I don't know. And it's like, it's kind of like discouraging because it's just like, well, okay, they switched to Junkrat. Are we just gonna lose because he like randomly kills four people and then tires or something? Like, what do we really? I mean, yes, we can kill a Junkrat. We can try to focus him, but it's like, you never know when people are just gonna end up killing a bunch of people, because that just happens.
Or Reaper.
But it's gonna be the end of the game now.
Yeah, or Reaper, same thing. Or except Reaper, he's harder to kill than a Junkrat. But even just like one tank, one healer, four DPS, if that combo is like Junkrat, Moira, Ash, the amount of damage coming from all three of those characters is enough to overwhelm two main healers. I just played a game today on Dorado where me and an Ana could not outheal the amount of spam coming from the other team, and so it was just a battle of attrition. Like, it just was everybody slowly
dying.
And
because of the way the maps are designed too, it's like there's a lot of choke points, so the spam and stuff just gets rewarded a lot, and it snowballs into never being able to go through the choke because they always have ultimates on defense or something like that, right? Like, it's just the map design wasn't bad at the beginning, but now it's really showing that it's becoming an issue with the way the heroes are, the game works. And so, like, and I don't think any of these things are changing. It's just, it's everything is just punishing. Just every aspect of this game is just punishing now.
Yeah.
And unless you're really good at something.
And I wonder if we're just going to start getting more like flat open maps with
maybe, but I think that's what I'm saying is, like, it's not even that we're going to get flat open maps. We're just going to continue making the same maps, but we're still going to have the same issue of, like, damage is so high that if you peek a Bastion, you're dead, you know.
But no, I mean, like, I could definitely see the map design changing, and it's just starting to be more and more like a traditional shooter where there's a little bit of high ground, but it's super flat, so snipers, and that's a thing that is really popular in the league, and that's really popular with a lot of pro players. And
you might be able to argue that's already happening, to be honest, with Rialto and even Junkertown. You know, Paris.
Yeah, for sure. For Paris is very much a sniper map. I think kind of the conclusion we're coming to more rapidly these days, though, is just and what kind of we've had to grapple for the last week is, like, what is the point of sticking around with Overwatch anymore?
Yeah, there it used to be when all this stuff initially started happening, it was like, well, okay, Mercy's not that good anymore, you can't mass res, but, like, you can still, like, Valkyrie and res, and you know, that's kind of satisfying still. It's not great, but, you know. And D.Va, like, she can't Matrix as much, but
you can learn other heroes. There's other heroes
that are not bad. Like, you know, maybe I never really played a lot of Lucio. Maybe I should try Lucio. But they've just nerfed so much of the stuff that I like playing that at this
or
point...
Or made it impossible to play them. Like, even if they don't do a nerf.
Symmetra, she's harder to play now.
Yeah, even if they don't do a ton of nerfs, they still buff up so many things that counter the things that you like playing that it's impossible to enjoy.
Tracer's kind of hard to play sometimes unless you're really good at her, right? Like, she kind of gets destroyed with a lot of the stuff. Yeah.
A lot of things are hard to play unless you're good at them, which is kind of where this game is going.
Basically. And so it just leaves it to where it's just like, well, I don't, like, in this list of things that I want to do, like, my list of, like, goals in Overwatch that I want to get out of it, obviously fun is, you know, priority, like, just to have fun, but, like, you know, I used to like load Overwatch and be like, gosh, today I'm going to play Widowmaker and, like, try to get better or whatever. Or, like, I'm going to play Ana and, like, try to do good nanos. And that stuff is so hard to do now that it's like, there's nothing really left on when I open the game. There's nothing, like, when I open the game now, instead of being like, gosh, I want to do this, it's like, I hope tonight the games aren't horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. And
that's not always true. So
it's not always true. And it's frustrating, and
I hope I can have fun.
Yeah. Or I hope I can do the things that I want to do or get enjoyment out of. And it's sad because I know that there's probably some people here that are like, well, how am I even going to get into Overwatch? Like, the time of Overwatch being a game for anybody to pick it up and have fun with it is over, I think, as far as that's concerned.
Unless you're playing, like, arcade and custom games. Or you're very into playing really competitively in, like, competitive mode, you know?
Yeah. And there's a lot of other choices to play other games, and those tend to all be Battle Royales now, because that's where we're at. Overwatch's time as a weird niche genre is kind of already over as well, because Fortnite and PUBG...
Even the own game, its own, like, Overwatch itself has given up on it, you know?
Yeah.
That's just weird.
It's weird. And I just, it sucks because I know somebody is going to be like, well, why don't you just play another game? And it's like, well, tell me a game that has collaborative, team-based, competitive stuff that also has healing in it. because
that isn't a MOBA.
It isn't. Yeah. Well, MOBA. A lot of MOBAs don't have healers on support. Yeah. It's all CCing and buffs and debuffs and things like that. It's not actually healing. And I don't like battle royales. You don't heal in battle royales.
So. Yeah, and it's really, and then the other thing too is that, like, I think a lot of people who also are just like, why don't you just play a different game, play a lot of shooters maybe, and the problem is that, like, at least for me, and I think you too, right, is like, before Overwatch, you know, whenever there was a new shooter that everybody was talking about, you know, you either played it or just saw it and was just like, yeah, no.
No, I didn't play shooters before Overwatch. Yeah. I did not play competitive games before Overwatch because there was no reason to, because I don't like shooting, I don't like military games, and I don't like competitive games that prize things that are sort of traditionally toxic and kind of like masculinized kind of competitive stuff, like KD ratios and, you know, like really weird jingoistic like military sort of backgrounds. Like, I'm never gonna get into Call of Duty, I'm never gonna get into Battlefield, I'm never gonna get into Rainbow Six. I hate realistic shooting. I hate it.
Yeah, and I think that Overwatch becoming this way, I don't know. Yeah, it's just really weird because, like, we both quit MMOs, kind of, like, to play Overwatch in a way. Like, I mean, not necessarily, you know what I mean, though. It's like we both kind of stopped playing, and we both tried to play World of Warcraft again, and I think we also both were just kind of like, yeah, I don't know if this is the type of game I want to play now. You know, at least not World of Warcraft, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always just been going back to Overwatch, because Overwatch was like, there's no grinding. You kind of just, there's a lot of heroes to get good at. There's, you know, there's fun games, there's funny games, there's, you know, hard games. It's just a huge variety, and every night was a lot of different, you know, different, like, ways to enjoy the game, right? Even if there was bad games, there was always something.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is gone, and there's not a lot of other games to play that aren't just, like, single-player games. Because that's the other thing, too, is it's, like, a very social thing for us. So,
yeah, other, like, it is.
Yeah,
it's how we met, basically. And
So it just, when that's gone, I don't know. I feel like because another thing that's really popular is people, whenever something happens, like a new game comes out or something, or everybody's tired of GOATs, everybody says, like, well, I'm going to quit Overwatch or whatever. And I don't know if we're going to quit, but it's just like, I just don't really care about the game that much anymore. I haven't for a bit. I mean, it's been before Batiste, but. Uh-huh. A lot of the changes, I sort of just, like, I mean, I have feelings about them, but it's sort of like, they're all just so unsurprising to me at this point that I just sort of play the game and then just move on. Like, I don't really have much investment in Overwatch anymore, really. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to.
That's the worst part. It's hard to have investment when you sort of feel the game sort of slipping through your fingers and being for other people. And it's like, well, I've been here since the beginning. Why isn't this game still for me, though? And that feels really alienating, because one of the reasons why I never played shooters is because those games never felt like it was for me. And Overwatch did, because it had, like, bright, colorful characters. It had women. It had women in the game. It had fucking women and a story. And, like, this Overwatch created its own success on the idea that it wasn't going to be like other shooter games, and it is slowly but surely cranking itself along on the promise of making the same dudes who are going to just hop to whatever is new and interesting in shooters when they get tired of Overwatch. Like,
case in point, there's a handful of Overwatch players that are on pro teams for Apex now.
Yeah.
You know?
They just hop to whatever esport is popular because that's what makes them money if they're a streamer or if they're a pro player. They do not actually have an investment in Overwatch as a game or a franchise or a social thing. It's about money and a job for them. So whatever becomes big next, like Battle Royales, like Fortnite or Apex, that's what they're going to go to. And that's and so Overwatch changing itself to be closer to those things or to cater to those audiences is going to drive away all the people that made Overwatch interesting and unique in the first place. And it wasn't pro players and it wasn't top 500 competitive players. It's the regular people, I guess. Like,
yeah.
It's depressing. It's really depressing because there's just not a lot of places for anybody else to go. No one's making the next Overwatch, I don't feel like, because Battle Royales are the new thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't
know
what to
do. We got the next Overwatch. It's Apex because it has heroes and it's a Battle Royale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've played Apex and it's just not for us. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this, and I know this has been kind of a depressing episode, and I'm sorry, but it's like, it's so hard.
I mean, I think it's interesting to track a game, you know, like, as it's shifting the way it has to stay relevant, especially when it's not like Heroes of the Storm, which is like, we're going to be different than your regular MOBA, but also our team is now like a skeleton crew or whatever, right? Or like, at least we're losing a lot of people and the game seems like the updates are going to be slower and maybe eventually Heroes will sort of kind of become stagnant. Where Overwatch is here and loud and Overwatch League and everything's happening, but the game is just shifting dramatically. And it's not dying, it's just changing. So I don't know. Yeah, it's really weird to be like, I just don't really care that much about Overwatch anymore, but I just don't. And I don't think it's burnout. I really don't think we're both burnt out. I think we're both just not into this video game anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, I think that's really different, because we've been burnt out of Overwatch and we took a week break and then we come back and it's like, oh yeah, this game's kind of good. And to be honest, when we played Apex, there were moments where it's like, oh yeah, I kind of missed that in Overwatch. But then you go back to Overwatch and it's like, gosh, is that, you know, the whole teamwork thing in Overwatch happens kind of, obviously more than like Apex, but it doesn't happen that often anymore. It doesn't feel like it happens that often anymore. Yeah. And that's just hard to, it's just a hard game to play.
It is. It really is. Like, I don't know. I don't have any, like, easy conclusions, I guess, because the things that I like about Overwatch are the things I really can't get anywhere else in gaming right now. And so it is weird because I've felt this way before with World of Warcraft. When Warlords of Draenor came out, I felt like my heart was breaking. Like, this game that I thought was for me and had a place for me in it was not really about that, and that's really the first time that I sort of like woke up one day and realized that this like game that I had like tied my life to was okay with pushing me out. And this feels the same way with Overwatch. It felt the same way when Mercy Rez got changed. Like, it suddenly, I woke up one day and this like game that I played all the time that I really was so invested in was moving away from
What was it about Warlords? Was it like balance changes, or was it just like the entire idea of having that as an expansion?
The entire idea of having that as an expansion, because up until that point I had been working really hard about writing about the Warcraft story and sort of the tone of the game. Pandaria had been really interesting because it was the first time that we got this like kind of complicated story, and there was a lot of like really cool female characters. And I thought that that was becoming more and more of a priority. And then to, like, walk into BlizzCon and to see this giant, like, promotional poster of, like, 9 gruff orc lords with, like, you know, like, raging metal guitar behind it, it made me realize, oh, the Warcraft development team just doesn't really, like, care. And it's funny and ironic that there are so many like women characters now in the newest expansion, but I also get the feeling that they're all sort of slated for the chopping block, and that's always
they're
kind
also
of
played as if, like, you know, it's been years, so now it's their time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Which, I mean, that's got its own thing, but it just feels like
a little too little too late.
Did you earn that? And all, yeah, too late. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard. It's really hard being somebody who only plays like a couple of like multiplayer games because that's like my social outlet, and just having them always disappoint me in the end, I guess.
Yeah. It's really strange because I didn't have that same feeling with Overwatch. I just sort of had other stuff to do, and or not Overwatch, World of Warcraft. And so stopped playing it, and that would be the only game that I like spent a lot of time with and then stopped playing. But Overwatch is definitely affecting just because it's like, oh, like every time I log in, it's I'm not even paying a subscription fee, and every time I log in, it's just like, huh, how bad do I really want to play this tonight? You know, I don't know. It's so weird to not be into Overwatch that much, but I don't know. I feel like we just saw this coming, you know, way back in whatever, August.
Yep. We did. Yeah. We saw this coming back in 2017.
Yeah.
When Mercy changes happened, that was a big turning point, I think, for what they wanted
Mercy
to do with
and
the
Junkrat
game.
Buff, yeah.
Well, I think that's the moment when they changed from being like a game for people who want to play this like unique kind of like team-based competitive game. And when they seriously started thinking about turning it into a marketable esport.
Yeah.
And those are two very different things.
And something to match what professional players want, yeah.
Yes, match what professional players want and what people want to see in an entertainment product.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, all the abilities to, like, all the heroes being able to just sort of kill a bunch and pop off is definitely really exciting to watch on the video, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
There's no way around that. It's more exciting than somebody just healing really good.
Yep. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think this is probably a good place to stop the episode before we just start to get too depressing.
I mean, it's sad, I guess, but this stuff has just been in my mind for so long that I really actually don't feel that sad at the moment because I've already kind of given up, but yeah.
I know, but it takes me longer to get sad about stuff, and then you get sad because I'm sad, and, you know, like, it's the whole thing, and I don't know. I'm going to keep playing Overwatch for the time being, but
I think
it's hard.
I play it, honestly, at this point just to see what is even, like, to watch it happen now. I don't have that much investment, like I said, so I'm just sort of like, oh, so this is what they're doing now. Like, when Batiste was announced, just like, oh, they're just going to make, okay. They're just going to make a hero that does everything, okay.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
On Twitter, at Tyler Culp, TYLERCOLP. I also write for Blizzard Watch, just blizzardwatch.com, and then I also stream for Blizzard Watch, which is twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch.
You can find me at Apple Cider Witch on Twitter, Apple Cider Witch on Twitch, as well as I also do stream at Blizzard Watch, so you can catch me over there. I know that we wrote a bunch of stories. Like, you wrote a bunch of stories for Blizzard Watch this week, and we'll put links for some of those in the show notes. I also was on another podcast for Media Mavens where I talked about my lengthy Sex and the City rewatch. I also co-bylined a piece about Overwatch esports and the Shanghai Dragons this week for Waypoint. So I'll link that as well. And I also had a piece of fan fiction in Capsule Crit this week as well. I was busy this week on top of being sick. So put links to all those. If you like the show, you can follow the show on Twitter at MISFcast. Which is like super cool, and we all love the retweets and the comments and stuff that we get over there. You can also send us any questions or comments for the show at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on iTunes if you like the show. It really helps us out. We also will read your reviews if you send them in. Also, just tell your friends about the show if you like the show. Word of mouth really helps us out. And finally, our intro and outro music is done by Maddie Myers, and you can find everything that she does at middymyers.net. That's MIDIMYERS.net, and also Middy Myers on Twitter. And I guess we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.